drive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, presented by Bet the Farm Podcast. I am Dino the Pig, joined by my brother, the farmer, Jared Plotnik. Coming off of a very interesting U.S. Open, I wouldn't say that we necessarily had ponies, although your boy did find a stale line after Friday afternoon. Zalatoris was sitting three or four shots back, I think it was, and my book was offering me a 40-1 live. Sniped that, and then I got sniped on Sunday afternoon. JP, U.S. Open, what did you think?
I'm just laughing because it wasn't a stale line. It was just you made a good bet on a line that wasn't stale. I mean, like, he was maybe four back, but he was like in 20 something place. There were a lot of guys up there, but
I just would have thought that. I still don't think. I think 40-1 seemed maybe stale isn't the exact adjective to describe it, but it seemed like an offline.
Oh, okay, that's better. But yes, look, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm proclaiming now, I'm taking off the British Open. Just call it now. I mean, you get the PGA, the top three guys, they implode down the stretch, lose. I bet on Fitzpatrick, including on the PGA, his last five starts, take the 1 week off last week, he wins. I just can't do it in majors, and I'm starting to tilt a little bit.
You're telling me I came on this podcast and said I was flag planting that I'm never betting on Fitzpatrick ever again.
Yeah, but you barely ever bet on him. It's not like I was, based on all the numbers we're showing, he was due to win. So I kept.
I took him at the fucking Memorial too. Fuck me. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying.
This isn't about you, Brandon. It's about me.
I feel it too.
You ask my opinion, I'm giving it, and then you make it about you. All right. So do you want my opinion or not?
Not when you're going to yell.
Gosh, you're double upsetting me.
Well, you know what? Why don't you stick to your guns? And you said that no matter what, if Rory doesn't win at the U.S. Open, I'm taking him at the Open. Guess what? He's the outright favorite. You're still going to do it?
That's the only bet I'm making all British Open is Rory to win, yes.
Okay. Correct. I'm holding you to that in 3 weeks' time. Well, maybe not the only one. All right. Well, it was actually a really fun Sunday. I mean, having a pony like Zalatoris for myself at 40-1, even though, I mean, it was also fun because we bet on Matsuyama pre-tournament and he comes flying out of left field, having the low round of the day. Unfortunately, I mean, that putter was just nuclear, and then it kind of cooled down on the back nine a little bit. But Matt Fitzpatrick, not to be confused with Matthew Fitzpatrick, prevails, overcomes Zalatoris, Scheffler, Rory, Burns, even Keegan Bradley. I mean, shit, I was shitting my pants. I had Zalatoris in the lead going into the day. Well, I think he was he one back? Or I think he was tied with Fitz, whatever. They were in the final group. He was tied. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I've got to try to like defend a lead against Scheffler, Rory, Burns, and Fitz. Like, this is going to be the worst day of my life. And at first, it started terribly. Scheffler birdies the first two holes. I'm like, here we go. I think he birdied three of the first four. He was like 3 under through four. And I'm like, this is going to be the worst day ever. And then Zalatoris comes out and bogeys like the first two holes. And I'm like, all right, I'm already four back. Like, just like that in the first few holes. Just killing me. And things, the tides kind of turned. And it got a little bit fun and more interesting. But I'll tell you what, Matt Fitzpatrick, a pair of cojones on that kid. And I'm going to call him a kid because he's wearing braces, so I'm allowed to. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully he just graduated through Matt through his maturity stages and is finally going to get some hair in his chin. So I'm proud of him. It was a nice win. And just like that, on to the next, as we like to say. So we've got the Travelers Championship this week. But before we talk about that, I did want to talk – like I will do weekly moving forward, just a quick little segment about the LIV Tour. Brooks Koepka, the headliner this week, is heading over to the LIV Tour. Jared, was there anything that you expected less than an announcement like that today?
No.
Was that you thinking?
No, I just like, yeah, no. I mean, that's the guy that doesn't want to play golf, can make a lot of money to not play golf. And still play the majors. That's all he cares about. It's the most obvious thing of all time.
Yeah, unfortunately, he just made himself look like an idiot, honestly. I'm not going to lie. Like, he can't. There's like quotes of him saying, I don't play for money. I play for the competition, which sort of makes sense in the sense of winning majors, I guess. Like, you could use that. But what I'm interested about, though, I can't believe he's even going to be able to tee it up this week at the Travelers, which he's in the field, but he's already committed to playing in Portland the week after and live. I can't believe the PGA Tour is going to let him play this week, knowing that he's committed already to the other tour. I think that they've said that the guys have to tee off first. Still think that that's extremely odd. He's going to have to face the media again this week. I mean, there's going to be some fireworks tomorrow at his presser, I'd assume. So looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to who else might go. I mean, Morikawa put that rumor mill to bed today, said he's not leaving. Also said the most controversial thing of the day, which is that he pours his milk before he adds his cereal. He pours the milk and then adds the cereal. More like a cereal killer is what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, he should be arrested for that comment.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really eat cereal, but if I'm going to, I'm going to put – and you know what? I'm going to throw a hot take out there myself. I like my cereal soggy. So anybody out there listening, hopefully some of you like soggy cereal. The rest of you, suck my dick. I don't give a shit. That's how
whoa,
I like it.
Whoa. Why do they have to suck your – what's your obsession with – you just said you don't even like cereal. Now you're going to make people suck your dick because they don't like it soggy?
I only like it one way, and it's got to be soggy.
But you don't even eat it.
As if I do, it's soggy.
Wow, I mean, you're being aggressive to start this podcast, Brandon.
And you know what? On top of that, I love Raisin Bran, and a lot of people hate it. So fuck you guys that don't like it also.
Oh, my God. You only like it because your name's Brandon. All the other reason. I mean, who the hell likes Raisin Bran? How's that company still in business?
I also like Frosted Flakes. That's probably like maybe a little bit better. But I think those two, the raisins in the morning, those are my two favorite cereals. How about the top five cereals? No. We're not doing a top five. I think there's enough podcasts doing that this week. So how about our top five least favorite cereals?
How about we move on from the cereal? All right.
All right. 2022 Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands. Par 70, 6,800 yards. This is the second shortest course that they play on the PGA Tour behind Pebble Beach. We're playing on bent grass greens with a little bit of a Poa mix in there. And this is a Pete Dye design. I might say Pete Dye 30 times on this podcast because, look, at the end of the day, he's one of those few architects where guys that play his type of course as well play them all well. It's just one of those correlated architectural things. So big thing that I'll be harping on. But coming off of your recent winner is Harris English. That was before his injury when he was on an absolute heater, won multiple tournaments last year. He wins at minus 13 last year. If you recall, one of the most electric playoffs ever, an 8-hole playoff over Kramer Hickok. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Watch it. Dustin Johnson wins at minus 19 in 2020. Chez Reavy, minus 17, won that by 4 strokes, just absolutely dominated the field. But I think that that was before they changed the whole scheduling, and this tournament used to not get nearly as many good names. So Chez Reavy beat out a bunch of scrubs. Bubba Watson absolutely destroys this course. I think he's won this 3 times, I believe, something like that. And he won in 2018, minus 17. Jordan Spieth, probably the most memorable win that's ever happened at the Travelers. Well, in the last decade or so, he wins at minus 12. No. Come on. Everybody knows it. It's the infamous playoff versus Berger where he holes out of the bunker, throws his club, does a fist pump or a chest bump with Michael Greller. I mean, that's like the most infamous view of the Travelers that in recent history. So
yeah, your flakes were frosted after that one. I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God. I don't even think you said that right.
It was supposed to be a joke about you being obsessed with the speed, Brandon. You can move on now since you ruined it.
Russell Knox won in 2016, minus 16. All right. On to the field this week. Pretty loaded field. We've got at the top of the board, Rory McIlroy headlines your field. Scotty Scheffler, JT, Cantlay, Schauffele, Burns, Spieth. I mean, we never see fields like this. So going to be a fun one this week. What do you think about the field? What do you think about the course? How are you going to attack your betting card?
Yeah, I mean, monster field up top. decisions to make. This is a rare week. Again, we're recording on a Tuesday evening, early evening, and I only have one bet in officially because I don't know what I want to do yet at the top of the card. I think with all these big names, I can catch a little drift on some guys we're going to talk about. I'll run through some guys that I'm eyeing. But just for this course, I mean, really short course, but it's just different ways to get it done here. There's not one particular thing you really have to be amazing at. It's not like Harris English last year won, gaining 1.5 strokes on approach. Dustin Johnson, when we were on him a couple of years ago, won, gaining 0 strokes off the tee. So if you're just really elite in 3 of the 4 major categories, it really doesn't matter what you're doing in the typical categories that are really important, like off the tee and approach. So, I mean, all in all, I'm just looking for good numbers on players that I really have a feeling for, because this is one of those rare weeks where, I mean, even because it's shorter, it doesn't mean length doesn't matter. If you're long and in the fairway, like Bubba Watson has been, or Dustin Johnson, I mean, even though off the tee didn't gain that much, but at this course, you can get it done in just in multiple ways. So, yeah, really, this is one of the weeks where I think I'm going to focus more on value with numbers I see as opposed to anything else, but that's just me.
That's right. This was that Dustin Johnson 2020 year, I think it, so it was right after COVID, and he had been playing, I guess you could say, not that great, and they dropped into what, like he was like 25, 30. And we were like,
it was 25 before all these studs that now exist were studs. So that,
right. It was a weird
line. He was a top 2-3 player in the world for a while at that point, and he just was coming off a few months of bad play and got dropped in the 20s, and it was a hammer.
Yeah. So love to have a winner here on that. I don't know if I feel like I hit Spieth that year, but I've hit him a few times. I picked my spots.
You know, all right. You bet him 30 times a year.
That's so not true. I think I've bet him 3 times this year, and I've hit him on one of them. I pick my spots. I know. All right, let's talk about the course a little bit. Pete Dye design. There are 8 par fours between 400 and 450 yards. Definitely going to want guys that are going to find the fairway and hit greens. Tee to green play, something I'm definitely heavily focusing on this week. There's, like you mentioned, there's a myriad of different ways that you could score here. But at the end of the day, what you need to do is score. This is going to end up being a birdie fest, and I'll talk about the weather, but it looks like it's going to be literally just pin hunting the whole time. So got to be good from par fours, 400 to 450. There's also a drivable par four, the 15th hole. Almost everybody goes for it, so going to be easy. 2 par fives. They both play as the easiest holes on the courses. They're not long whatsoever, so guys are going to go for it. They both have a 34% or better birdie rate, so going to be a lot of birdie opportunities for everybody out there. Although what's interesting, there is the last 3 holes, which is the toughest three, one of the toughest 3-hole stretches on the PGA Tour. This one doesn't have a nickname like the rest of them.
It can't be that tough if there's no nickname.
Yeah, the bear trap and the snake pit. What's the other one that you were talking about? It was recently. It was like 6, 7, 8. Was it at the major? Is it at the PGA? No.
I forgot.
Yeah, there's one other tournament. But yeah, all 3 of those holes have a 17% or worse bogey percentage. So bogeys or worse 17% of those on each of those holes. So a lot of chances to blow up. The proximity range when it comes to approach play, primarily looking at 125 to 175. So we're looking at wedge and short iron play. That's what I'm going to be looking at primarily when it comes to the guys that I want to focus in on their approach play. And I think that you mentioned it, but driving distance, I'd certainly give it a slight advantage. You know, the fairways are easy to hit. They're wide, but the rough can be fairly penile. It's not like it's not thick. I guess you could say that about anywhere, but I think, you know, we've seen over time here, it's not like the scores have been crazy low. We haven't had a minus 20 winner since, I only wrote down the last 6 winners, and there hasn't been one yet. So it's not like it's the easiest course, especially because scrambling percentage, actually, it's below average compared to the PGA Tour. So not easy to get up and down from around the greens if you miss greens, but the greens are extremely easy to hit. It's a 68% GIR rate, which is well above the tour average. But you mentioned it. Any type of player style has shown to work here. The bombers, the plotters, the good putters, the bad putters. You just need everything to click all in one week. I also think the thing that's important this week is going to be course history. It's a huge plus here. I mentioned it before, but we've seen similar guys. And I mentioned it before. I was talking about the Pete Dye thing, but also course history in general, just on this course, we've seen similar guys at top of the leaderboard year in and year out. So I think that's going to be massive. So focusing on ball striking, driving distance, approach, opportunities gained is something I factored into my model, which for everybody out there, it's newer to the podcast. Opportunities gained on fantasynational.com means that you have a birdie or better opportunity within 15 feet that is either on the green or on the fringe. So it's not necessarily just a GIR. Par fours from 400 to 450 and proximity on approach play from 125 to 175 yards. All right, let's jump into the weather real quick. Thursday, going to be in the 60s and 70s, cloudy. I'm seeing 6 mile per hour winds at a max. Yeah, nothing. Friday, going to be a little overcast with some sun, 60s and 70s, 5 mile per hour winds. Saturday, sunny all day, gets up to the 80s and 90s, 7 mile per hour winds at the max, and that's late afternoon. Going to be like 6 miles per hour. Sunday, cloudy day, 80s and 90s. And that might be the windiest day. We're going to be with gusts up to 15 miles per hour. But I mean, for these guys, that's nothing. These are pristine conditions. These guys are going to tear this course up, to be honest. So that being said, let's jump right into some plays. As we'd like to do, let's get into the top of the board, our 10 to 20 range. Although I could argue we're going a little bit below 10 here because Rory is on our, at least on our book, plus 880. So he's about 9 to 1 or so. But from the
9 to 1. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So 9 to 1 to 20 to 1. This is the stud portion of the board. I thought about it. I was like, a lot of these guys stuck out to me. Patrick Cantlay is the one I think that's standing out to everybody. And the reason being, he hasn't even been that good here. I think it's 4 starts that he's started here and he's never finished outside the top 15, something like that. And the other part is he just dominates two things, par 70s. He dominates a few things. Yeah. Par 70s, courses that are under 7,200 yards. And so short courses and Pete Dye courses. He's like number one on Pete Dye courses. He's the one that I think everyone's going to be on, and that's why he's 12 to 1. But is his game deserving to be 12 to 1? No, it's just not. And for that reason, I'm out on Patrick Cantlay. The one that stood out to me the most, I think, is Sam Burns, and he caught my eye. I just can't pull trig at 18 to 1. So what caught your eye? What do you think about this range?
I mean, normally I don't go here, but if I did, it'd be just a quick trigger on Scottie Scheffler. I mean, 10 to 1, the guy is just competing every single week. And it's just fantastic ball striking. Just everything is clicking all around. But, yeah, I'm not going to go there. I'm not coming up in this range. You could, as always, make a case for all these guys. But in a tournament like this off a major week, that takes a lot out of guys on the U.S. Open. I won't be dabbling above 20 to 1.
Yeah, I think it's ballsy. Anytime, I think it's a cardinal sin, personally, as a bettor that's been doing this for a lot of years.
I mean, it's just, you keep saying that, but if you look at all the winners this year, it really hasn't been. It's been, you'd be extremely profitable if you were betting in this range. You've had a JT win here. You've had a Rory win here. You've had multiple Scheffler wins here. There have been a lot of winners this year coming from this top of the range. It's just a matter of pinpointing.
Okay, but then at the same time, if I hit on one of the 60s, that makes up for all of those.
Yeah, but you can't hit the 60 if someone at 11 to 1 is winning.
It's not going to happen every week. Doesn't happen every week.
I mean, we can agree to disagree then. I'm just saying
that if that's the case, then if that's your argument, then why aren't you doing it?
I'm responding to you saying that it's bad to bet up here when there's been
cardinal sin that that's just not how I gamble on golf. And I've been profitable for years on end. I'm having a bad year. And that's because of the exact reason you're talking about. The studs are just completely dominating and they're playing so often. That doesn't always happen, but you know what? I'll keep battling. The season, probably halfway through the season, I'm not worried.
All right.
All right, so we'll go from the 9 to 20 range to the 20 to 30 range. This is where it gets a little bit interesting. We've got Spieth at 20 to 1, Niemann at 22, Bradley at 25, which to me I think is absolutely ridiculous. Tony Finau 26, which I saw people snag that at 40 to 1. Oh, I was really hoping that my book had that. I think that that's how it opened and it got slammed. If anybody out there is getting anything above 35, I'd probably be on that. Even honestly at 30 to 1, I probably might be on it, but 26, that's a little too low for a guy who has trouble closing. And Sungjae Im at 28 to 1. So Spieth, I kind of crossed off this week. The putter in a birdie fest just hasn't been there. And I don't know. I don't really have much to say on him. Niemann is the one that I love this week. I thought that he came into this. He's coming in very solid form. Wasn't great at the U.S. Open, but before that had a nice top 20 finish at the Memorial. He's hitting the ball well. He's putting the ball well. There's not much that he doesn't do right. I think if anything that's probably hurting him is around the green play. This is going to be a course where that's not necessarily going to be an issue. Niemann caught my eye, 22 to 1. Just think that that's just a little too low for me based off of his win equity in his careers. Keegan Bradley at 25, just that's ridiculous. This is just complete Boston narrative. I will say he had good finishes last week. Okay, he's had good finishes in the last 4 weeks. I'm not biting the bullet at 25 to 1. If you give this to me at 35, 40 to 1, okay, we can have the conversation. 25, that's not going to happen. Not for me.
No, I'm not either. I'm just giving you the case. That's why he's there. And I mean, this is one of the rare times that number, I think he deserves to be there. I mean, all the numbers back up him being in that 25 to 30 range for the way he's striking the ball. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to take anyone here. The two guys that really stuck out to me, and wow, going head to head with you again, but I actually really like Spieth this week. I don't, you brought up his putting numbers as, I mean, he's gained in three straight putting. So I don't know why that was brought up, but other than that, I mean, every time he's played here, he's just been, that's back when he sucked off the tee and he still got to win, losing a stroke off the tee here, just doing it with everything else. And like I said, you can get away with doing that, but the guy's hitting the ball off the tee better than he ever has. I'm willing to throw last week out the window. The guy battled through round one with a stomach flu, didn't even get to practice accordingly on Tuesday, Wednesday, and still made the cut and played a solid round of golf, gaining in all the major categories. And you get him now in over 20 range at a track that he's had success in, a shorter course where he can really rely on that epic short game. He's got confidence again in the putter. I have a really heavy eye on Jordan Spieth, and I was waiting for today too. When the pairings come out, he goes off in the afternoon. So I got a feeling live I'll be able to snag a 22, 24 if I don't get it pre-tournament. So I got my eye on him. And another one in this range that I have my eye on is my hero. That was not your hero last week, Sungjae Im. I think this is a kind of, if I ever think of a track where you can get it done in any given way in all four major categories, I want Sungjae Im because he gets it done with just randomly. He pops in every one of the four major categories. And if he can put all just solid numbers through all four major categories together this week, I think he has a great chance to win.
All right. For starters, you told me that you argued against, I don't know why you brought up Jordan Spieth's putting numbers. He has not gained in three straight events. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
He gained last week and the two before that. That's
really
three.
He lost at the U.S. Open. So you're obviously looking at the wrong stuff, but okay. And Data Golf?
I don't have Data Golf. Man, you're smarter than me.
So then,
all right.
You just guessed?
I thought I saw that he had gained. Oh, I was looking at strokes gained total. That's what I was looking at. He had gained total.
Obviously, he's gained in strokes gained total. He has a mystic
cut. Okay, so he's gained two of the last three. Is that better?
Yeah, but one of them, he gained five strokes at the Memorial, still finished 18th, and then gained 0.2 at Charles Schwab, lost three before that, gained one, lost two, lost seven, lost two. It's that the putter's not there. That's all I was getting at. I don't trust it.
I'm saying that recently it's been better. That's what I said.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not really what you said. You kind of called me out, but it's all good. So I'm going to start with my card with my hero, Sung Jae-im, at 28-1. That's my first bet of the card. I loved him last week, and I still love him this week for all the same reasons, even after the miscut at the U.S. Open, for all the same reasons. You alluded to it. He does everything well. But what I love the most going at it to a tournament like this, where U.S. Opens are so ridiculous to handicap, and it's so hard to hit a winner for so many reasons, because the course could be set up in so many different ways, and just all it takes is one or two holes or one bad round. Ask Morikawa about what one bad round will do to you at a U.S. Open, because that guy should have won the U.S. Open this year if it wasn't for Saturday. But anyways, this guy's ranked 9th in tee to green on the tour this season. Those are the things I'm weighing heavily this year is tee to green play. Dominates Pete Dye Designs. Last 24 rounds, which is 6 tournaments, he is number 4 in total strokes gained on Pete Dye Design courses. In the last 50 rounds, he ranks number 6 on total strokes gained on easy courses. That is a stat on Fantasy National where they compare everybody's rounds to each other. And based off of how the course plays, they decipher whether it's easy, like medium, or difficult. And on easy courses, he ranks number 6 in the field. And he also ranks 11th in total strokes gained on courses under 7,200 yards. So he plays really well on small or on shorter courses. On top of that, he scores really well on par fours. He ranks 21st on tour this year in birdie or better percentage on par fours. So I love to hear that. I want guys that can score this week. And his course history, not great, not terrible. He's made 2 out of 3 cuts here. Had a T21 finish in 2019. At least he's familiar with the course. I always talk about that. I'll take it. You know, for what it's worth, at least they've seen it for the first time. So between, you know, easy courses, which I think this is going to play like an easy course, between a short course, between getting tee to green, between it being a Pete Dye course, and on top of that, his recent form with the ball striking, 28-1 seemed like a no-brainer bet for a guy that I had already liked going into last week. I'm not going to let 1 week, you know, change my entire decision. I got a good number last week. Feels a little worse this week. 28-1 seems like a solid price.
Yeah, I like him.
All right. So from there, we'll go to the 30 to 50 range. We start with Davis Riley at 30-1. Brooks Koepka, 35. Aaron Wise, 35. Your boy, Mito Pereira, 35. Seamus Power at 40. Harmon, 40. Tommy Fleetwood, 45. And Mark Leishman, 45. And I guess while we're at the 50s, HV3, Jason Day, and Denny McCarthy all at 50-1. Davis Riley stood out to me right off the bat, but at 40, 50-1, 30-1, I don't know if I could bite the bullet.
He's getting a 40 on him still out there, but he's Jason Sobel cursed this week, so I don't know if everyone's on him this week, though. He's a very, very popular name, and rightfully so. Monday morning, I was thinking, oh, I hope I can get a good number on Davis Riley, and then I saw the. I mean, his approach numbers are just off the fucking chain the last 5 events. It's ridiculous. He is just striping the ball with his irons. But, I mean, I can't say one bad thing about him other than Jason Sobel's on him.
I agree. I was all over him coming out of Sunday. I was thinking about it, and I saw an early 40 and just immediately shot to 30. Everybody slammed it. And, you know, I'm a value player, which sometimes is a – you know, I'm guilty to a fault for that, but I'm not going to do it. I think that the best bet of the week is not only not taking Brooks Koepka at 35-1, but taking him to miss the cut. Oh my God. This guy's going to be rattled. And everyone says he doesn't get rattled. Guess what? He hasn't won a major in a few years. Relax, everybody. It's not like he's like unstoppable or invincible. Guy's missed cuts at 2 of the last 3 majors, and the other major finished like 45th. I mean, come on. He's not the same guy right now, and now he just joined the LIV Tour. He's going to be hammered by the media this week. Fade Brooks Koepka. Aaron Wise, I thought was interesting. Guy's in great form. The putter, finally, a guy that's a terrible putter, finally coming around. Did you think twice about it, or wasn't something you bit the bullet on?
On who? Sorry, I got distracted by my father.
Aaron Wise.
No, I mean, I like Aaron Wise on longer courses where you really – strike into that iron play. The reason why he's been so much better is he's the putter's woken up. But I mean, with all these putter ceilings and him still not getting it done, I like Aaron Wise, but I like him when he's more of a longer shot. I mean, I'm not going to get to him this week off all these amazing putting weeks, not being able to get it done.
Yeah. It feels like you're buying the top, you know?
Yeah. That's not what I want to do. I'm with you.
Same with Davis Riley. It feels similar too. I mean, I think Davis Riley is a little bit more talented and has a chance to like win one and then win a few, kind of like Sam Burns finally did after a few years. But so that makes you think that it's a good investment. Wise, I just thought that he was going to have a good year, but he's been up and down. All right, so let's get to my next outright bet, which is our next guy we were going to talk about, and that is your hero, your second hero, sort of, in a sense, is Mito.
Hero right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Mito Pereira at 35-1. I think this is a phenomenal number for him, and I say phenomenal. I don't know if I would have taken it at like 28 or even 30, but 33, 35, I think it's a fair number is the best way to put it. But everything checks out here, man. Top 10 in ball striking, approach, opportunities gained, par fours, 400 to 450. The numbers are going to check out for Mito no matter what. He's had unbelievable finishes in his last few starts, and he's just one of the best ball strikers on the planet. Yes, the putter can go up and down. But what I love is just the momentum. I think that he could finally put that US Open crumble in like the rear view. A few weeks have passed, put it in the rear view. He's flying under the radar this week. Nobody's really talking about that anymore now that a major has passed. And averaging 4 strokes gained on approach in his last 5 weighted starts. Okay, that's something I could work with this week. He hasn't lost strokes gained tee to green since the Waste Management in February. He's 12th on tour this year in strokes gained tee to green. He ranks 12th on tour in birdies this season. I want guys that could score. That's like one of my big things this week. Guys that could score, ranks 12th on tour in birdies this season. I think the putter is always the crutch, but we've seen bad putters light it up here. Look at Bubba. Look at Ches Reavy. Brendan Steele is like one of the best players at this tournament over the last 5 years. Russell Knox won this tournament not too long ago. The bent Poa mix might be what the doctor ordered for old Mito Pereira. And for all those reasons, FOMO me up, Mito 35-1.
All right, Mito Pereira. Yeah, in this range, I'm eyeing a number of guys, nothing in yet. I'm actually seeing some. I mean, I still see O'Reilly at 40. I wish Sobel wasn't on him. Other chalk guy that I actually like that I'll most likely be on, I don't see how I'm not going to because he fits everything I'm kind of looking for, is Seamus Power. A lot of talk for him, a lot of love for him, and rightfully so. His last 4 starts, he has 3 top 17, 17, 9th, 12th miscut in there, but played great last week at the US Open. And, I mean, I want guys here at a track like this, you got to light it up. You need to make your putts, and Seamus is a great putter, especially on bent. That's his best surface. Excuse me. But his approach numbers, his ball striking has been really good recently. I just like how Seamus Power checks out around the board. So I'll most likely be on him. One guy that I actually did take, though, well, he's a little further. So I know you said 30-50 range, but
I don't know. We're already past that.
But before that, anyways, at 50-1, I just have a feeling like guy's been knocking on the door for a while. If you want the place I wanted him is at a birdie fest. I really like HV3 this week. I may be actually be on him for the first time in my career. Don't think I've never bet him before. Coming off a bad week last week, but he'd been striping his irons the few weeks before that. If he can just get one of those hot putters like he got at the Heritage, one of the comp courses, short course where he finished third, where he choked down the stretch. I kind of like HV3 this week. But yeah, the first bet I had at 60-1, I don't get why all these schmageggies in front of him. But since he's shown life the last few weeks, is at 60-1. I'm going with Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson, love him on short courses. And he's just shown life over. I mean, he missed the cut last week on Friday. He had a tumultuous Friday. He played good on Thursday, but missed the cut on the number, I believe. But had a 27th week start before Charles Schwab, 20th at the PGA, gaining in all major categories. And I just like how his game sets up for a course like this, where he hasn't played he's only started here 5 times in his career, but has a 5th and 8th, 29th, 34th missed cut. It's just the kind of track that I love a Webb Simpson, and I'm getting him this week at a reduced price than I was expecting going into the week due to his missed cut at the US Open. I mean, he makes the cut and he finishes 25th last week, and he's 40-1, 35-1. I'm getting him 60-1. I'll gladly take that.
Yeah, so getting to this range, the 40 to, let's call it 75 range, power, I think is just going to be extremely chalky. Everybody's on him. I think the number, I mean, it's not a bad number, 40-1. I struggle a little bit with his win equity, but, I mean, the number's right out. I thought about it. Couldn't pull a trick. Brian Harman I thought was interesting, but he's also another chalky guy. I think it's a lot due to his course experience and course history here. He dominates this track, multiple top tens here. Tommy Fleetwood, until he figures that putter out, nobody should even touch him with a 10-inch pole, especially on U.S. soil. And Mark Leishman's another guy who's getting steam this week due to course history. And I talked a lot about course history earlier, but these guys are just – everybody's floating – their odds are floating worse and worse and worse because a lot of people are hammering them, and I'm just not going to be. And look, I wanted to bring this up as well. There's people that we talk to in, like, in our Discord and whatnot that loves to just like try to like take all their action Monday morning thinking that they're going to get the best lines. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that lines adjust properly and gives you a better look at what the board actually should be. And sometimes lines float your way because there's guys that people are overlooking and people are slamming guys like the chalky guys, such as, you know, for example, a Seamus Power, or, I mean, in my case, honestly, even, or like in a perfect case, the Tony Finau. And then because they move up, other guys move down. And I like watching the board move a little bit to find some value out there, throwing that out there. I don't think that it's, for everybody out there that, you know, is trying to figure out how to gamble, I don't necessarily think it's the smartest thing in the world just to try to beat the market and get there on Sunday nights or Monday mornings. But anyways, just, I digress. Just wanted to throw that out there as a little gambling, you know, point there. But HV3, don't hate it. Still don't find him to be a closer. Jason Day, the guy's irons are atrocious. Denny McCarthy's not winning this tournament, so good luck. And that brings me to Webb Simpson at 60-1. I got him at 65, but he's now 60. And I'm on Webb Simpson at 65 for another week in a row.
That's a loser. Us on the same bet.
It's similar to Sungjae. I took him last week, and guess what? I'm going to stick to my guns here. U.S. Opens are really hard to handicap, but I liked the way he was walking into that tournament. I think he turned the corner with his iron play. Not pretty much weighted to the miscut last week. You know, long tracks and Webb Simpson, Jared, go together like lamb and tuna fish.
I like lamb and tuna fish. You mean more like spaghetti and meatball?
With spaghetti and a meatball? No. You know what goes together like a spaghetti and a meatball? Webb Simpson and short tracks, especially par 70s. Last 50 rounds, Webb Simpson ranks number 8th in the field in strokes gained on par 70s and number 4 in the field on courses under 7,200 yards. The short courses help him club down, help him hit more fairways. He's one of the best approach players from the fairways on the PGA Tour. This season, he ranks 12th on the tour in proximity to the hole when he's hitting his approach out of the fairway. If the guy hits fairways, he hits greens, and he hits up close. He's a great shot shaper of the ball. That's why he's had great success at PDI courses throughout his career. In the last 24 rounds, he ranks number 9 in total strokes gained on PDI tracks. Now, here I'm going to really get deep into it on the PDI thing. Webb Simpson and his history on PDI tracks. And I'm going to run through the list of almost every PDI track that they play on PGA Tour. The first one is at the Players, which is TPC Sawgrass. I don't know if you remember this. He won that. He's won the Players before. The RBC Heritage, which is at Harbortown, won that event, has two additional top fives there, owns that track. Whistling Straits, they play that at the Tour Championship in 2015. Fifth place finish there. Crooked Stick, another Pete Dye course. They played the PGA Championship there in 2016. 13th place there. And he has two top 10s at the Travelers, which is this week at TPC River Highlands. He owns Pete Dye courses. And I don't see why he ain't going to come out here and show it again. So give me Webb Simpson, 65-1. Shit, give a year and a half ago, this guy was sitting 25-1 in every tournament. I think he's turning the corner. He's finally healthy. He was going through a little bit of a health scare. Not a scare, I should say. That's a terrible adjective. Going through some health problems. But I think he's back to normal. And he's playing consistently on tour again. Getting through rounds. No issues. Let's go. Webb Simpson.
I'm with you. I love it.
All right. Let's get to the...
One thing I'm going to cut you off first before you go there, though. Name that you dismissed right away, but I have my eye on him, and I may take him if I can get a little drift. It is good old Jason Day. His last three starts, irons have been atrocious. But before that, gained 5.5. He's had 3 weeks off really to find that game. And what I really love with him, he loves the Travelers. He plays really good here. Four of his six starts are top 20s, including three of his last four, where three of those four, he wasn't the Jason Day that we remember in 2015, 2016, 2017. These are beyond Jason Day's prime. These were the random tournaments he was actually popping in at the Travelers, and he's gained on approach in five of his six starts here. And his short game is really rounding into form right now. And that's what I want to see. I mean, you're going to have a good short game here if you're going to want to pop. His last three starts, even though those irons were atrocious, gained 1.5 or more around the green, gained 2.5 or more putting in all three of those. I think if he just, over the last few weeks, dialed in those irons a little bit, he doesn't need any length here, find the fairways at a track that he historically likes. I think Jason Day can surprise the people and be in contention come Sunday.
Yeah, I just think his irons are just atrocious right now, but hey, it is what it is. Who I love in this range that I haven't pulled the trigger on yet that I want to is Keith Mitchell at 66-1. I talked about guys that could score, and this guy is top 10 in scoring, like in birdie percentage on the PGA Tour. So I'm definitely eyeing him. He's phenomenal and long off the tee. The approach play can be a little wonky. The putter could get a little wonky, but You even talked about it with previous winners here. You don't necessarily have to be good at one specific thing. If as long as you're a little bit positive on one thing and very positive everything else, then you're going to be good. So if he has a hot putter week and is really dialing it in with the driver and can just give himself good looks, I like Keith Mitchell a lot. Zadenhut, I thought about for a good minute. It just doesn't have the full game. He's never showed he could be in contention. His whole game we talked about was short game and putter. He's been losing around the greens in three of his last four starts. I don't like that. So that scares me, especially when it's a little tough to get around up around the greens here. And I feel like he's more of he's not necessarily a West Coast putter like a Poa or Bentgrass. So that's a terrible excuse. I just trying to give myself reasons not to bet them. So that's that. Yeah, but
talk about people you want to bet on at this point. You don't have to bring up guys that you don't want to bet on.
Well, I talked about Mitchell. I like him. All right. So I'll get to my third bet, and I'm going with C. Woo! Kim at 70-1 odds. Honestly, been a sneaky good year for Siwoo, even though he hasn't really been in contention, but 8 top 25 finishes this year. Siwoo is the ultimate Pete Dye specialist. And that's, I thought about it right when I knew this was a Pete Dye course, I was going to get into it, but I'll talk on that a little bit, but let's get into some of the nitty gritty numbers. He's gained strokes tee to green in 11 of 13 events in 2022 so far this year. He ranks 38th on tour in fairway percentage this year. Got to be in the fairways, hit greens, and give yourself a chance to putt. The ball striking numbers are good, but the putter just kills him, and we've known this for years. And the problem is, either way, the guy scores. He has blow up holes, which I'm scared about, but he scores, which is what we want at a potential birdie fest. He ranks 7th on the tour in total birdies this season. So the guy is going to score. He's going to birdie holes. He's going to stick it close. Can he just avoid the blow up hole? But like I mentioned, a Pete Dye specialist in the last 24 rounds. He ranks at number 2 in the field in total strokes gained on Pete Dye courses. He's won the Players at TPC Sawgrass, was a runner-up at the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. He has 3 top 26 finishes at the Travelers this week at TPC River Highlands, and he's made three of the five cuts, even while losing strokes putting in all five tries. So just need a special week from him, which we've seen done plenty times before this by other guys that have contended here on the greens. So I like Siwoo, 71-1 odds.
I like Yeah, Siwoo, Pete Dye specialist. I like it. Been on my eye on him as well. Nothing there yet. I mean, number of guys just now. I mean, long shots that I just have some eye on. Just a little Cameron Davis. He's been playing well at these short courses. I was looking at him. I mean, Kisner's been in such bad form, but like at that long number at a short course, I always want to give him a peek. But I hate him. I never will bet him. But for those out there that want to make an educated decision, CT Pan at 130-1. I've heard of worse bets. That guy on short courses just always plays well. At 150-1 may sound a little weird, but I kind of like Cam Champ. Guy's always good to pop once a year for a win, like he did for me at the 3M last year. We're coming up on that year anniversary. It's time for him to get going again. And he just, you may be like, oh, why would you want him in a short course? But when he clubs down and can be more accurate, he even gains more off the tee. I mean, last year at the Travelers, he gained 3.5 strokes off the tee. Granted, he missed the cut because he bled it in every other category. But even a short course like this, if you can find those irons again, I mean, he goes through these streaks, 3 missed cuts in a row. But before that, 38, 6, 10. He's just very streaky. That what happened in his last 3 missed cuts, his short game has been atrocious, which you're going to get from him. But when he pops with that putter, he can contend. 150-1, I've seen worse numbers. Like a Lahiri has been really good over the last few months. I've seen a worse number than 150-1 on him. I just don't know how much I'll be dabbling here. I'm really thinking of having a concentrated card between that like 30 to 70 range with about 4 or 5 guys. We'll see. Maybe I'll pull the trigger on Spieth. If not, I could see like a Sungjae 30, Mito 45, Power 45, Varner, Day, Simpson kind of card. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards right now. But you guys know where to find me at JaredP_ to find that card tomorrow night. I'm going to wait for some – hopefully we get some drift into Wednesday, and that could help me out with my decisions.
Yeah, I can understand the long shots. I got a few myself, but going through this range, Siwoo Kim, or after that is McNally at 75. He stood out. I've been on him a few times this year. I like him a lot at 75. That guy can score in bunches, so 75-1, I'm eyeing that. But as we get to the 100 range, first guy that stood out to me, literally at 110-1 odds, Aaron Rye. I know you've liked him in the past, but guy's coming in good form. He's coming off gaining 7 strokes on approach, which was his 13th place finish this at the RBC Canadian Open. He's made 6 of his last cuts. The problem is, he's not a long hitter, but he finds fairways. He ranks 20th in fairway percentage on tour this year and 5th in good drives over the last 50 rounds. So for anybody out there, good drives means that even if you don't hit the fairway, you're hitting a GIR. So I like that. He also ranks 12th in opportunities gained over that span. So he gives himself chances to score. Got to get the putter going. He's yet to put everything together over the last over four days in total, but he's one of the streakiest players. He can get really hot really quickly. As I mentioned with, a lot of his, good rounds, he just has good rounds, but then he has bad rounds. At a birdie fest, I think that's a guy that I could pull a trigger on at 110-1. I like the dart throw here. He's a good course fit. So Aaron Rye, 110. I like him a lot. And then also in this range, right behind him, I'm going to go with Doug Gim. I'm going to bet on him as well at 110-1 odds. Tremendous ball striker and solid off the tee. He ranks 30th in fairway percentage. Notoriously contended at one big event in his career, and that is the Players of Pete Dye Design, where he was in the second final group on Sunday with JT 2 years ago at the Players when JT won. He blew up, ended up finishing 29th, but then he bounces back in 22 this year at the Players with a sixth place finish. So he's definitely got a good feel for the shot shaping and the mentality of Pete Dye Design requires. He's gained on approach in 8 of his last 9 events. Put all that together, get the putter hot. Doug Gim is definitely going to give himself a chance to be in contention. His two best putting surfaces are Bent and Poa, with a combination of Bent Poa this week. should help a little bit on the greens where he tends to struggle. So I like Doug Gim a lot this week. Doug Gim. And other guys that caught my eye, like Sahith Tigala, 125-1. He's been in good form. He can go low in spurts. Cam Davis is someone that everyone's talking about. I don't see that. I think Johnny Vegas will be up there. I think he's good. Adam Long has had good course history here. Shurman's had good course history here. And Wyndham Clark goes low in spurts as well. I just don't trust him to do it over four rounds. I know I just talked about that. Alex Malley was interesting to me at 185-1. We just saw him contending at the RBC a few weeks ago, had just one really bad round, but 185-1. I mean, the guy dominated the Korn Ferry Tour and then has shown that he can contend on the PGA Tour level. So 185, I think it might be worth a little sprinkle. Troy Merritt's finally figuring it out with his irons, 200-1. We know that his putter's actually unbelievable. So at 200-1 might be worth a sprinkle as well. And you can never talk about the ledge of Anthony Smotherman, as I like to call him. So those are the guys that caught my eye. Adam Svensson as well. Man, I'm having trouble with this.
Yeah, you're just going to, yeah.
It's this week. So Adam Svensson, 225. Look, you know, may not be the best speaker, trying to give everybody all the info they need to make good decisions this week. Whether I can speak it into existence or not properly is another question. So that being said, I think there's long shots to be had. My card is not finalized. I've got six guys though, but a lot of, I'd say not a lot, but pretty good amount of long shots. So I'm definitely looking at the live leaderboard this week. That's something I'm going to be eyeing after round one or round two. If I can get one of those studs, kind of like I did Zalatoris after round two this past week at the US Open, then I'm going to try to pounce on one of those, but I'm going to leave my card as is. So let's jump right into our matchup, 72 hole matchups. JP, you've been on fire with your matchups. Let's see what you got this week.
Hey, finally, after 9 weeks winning in a row, went 1-4 last week. So finally my streak is over. Awful. Had Kisner hit two long putts on the last two holes to beat List by one. Just a tough week all around. So we're moving forward, but I got a 5-pack this week. I already had one of the beers from the 6-pack. So let's start off. And I love favorite one of the week, very close to being a 2X banger. And it was Webb Simpson -130 over Denny McCarthy. Denny McCarthy getting a lot of love this week, rightfully so. I love Denny McCarthy, but not the track I really want him at. Really has never finished well here. It's just coming off that big heater last week. I could see why he's getting love. I'll fade the chalk there and go with Webb Simpson instead. I'm going to go again with another fade of the chalk, going Tringali -125 over Joel Damon. Tringali's just solid all around. Joel Damon just, I mean, everything he just went through, just a, I mean.
Is it Damon or Damon, dude? You got to pick one or the other.
No, I could pick whatever the fuck I want. So you shut up and let me give my picks. How about that?
You can't say Jadamin and then at the next sentence say Damon. Like, pick a fucking name. Let's go.
So, Damon was on with Higgs, and Damon said to Higgs, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be on the course until Wednesday afternoon. Like, he's next week. He's like, I mean, he just had a long week at the US Open contending, thinking he has a chance. A lot went into that, a lot of emotions, and now he comes to a course that really doesn't fit his game that well. A lot of people loving him. I don't really see the love for him this week. I like Tringali. It's just total game all around. Give me him over him. Another one I just talked up while you were gone. Kind of like just – this is more of just a field play. I like how he profiles off the tee. If I can get somewhat okay putter, I think it'll be solid. Is Cam Champ. I'm taking him +130 over Matt Neesmith. Neesmith, similar thing to Joel Damon. I mean, exhausting week, thinking you have a chance going into Saturday and then just imploding. It just wears on you as a golfer. So I'll gladly take the plus money with a guy who didn't even play last week, got some rest. Next, I'm going – I mentioned I like Cam Davis a little bit this week. Got him +130 over my boy Tom Hoagie. Look, it just that's just a number play. I think that matchup's a coin flip, and I'm getting +130. I take those matchups every time. And you asked me about Wise earlier, so I'm going to wrap it up in a Wise way and say I'm taking Davis Riley +100 over Aaron Wise. That's my five-pack of matchups this week.
Yeah, I got two matchups this week. Just gonna keep it short and sweet. I'm going with Tommy Fleetwood over Brooks Koepka. This is an automatic Brooks Koepka fade week. We know that he doesn't really even try on regular PGA Tour events. He doesn't have a good course history. Tommy Fleetwood was going into the U.S. Open in phenomenal form. Putter let him down throughout the week. So I'll take him at minus 129. They both missed a cut, but I think Tommy right now is in the better form and probably cares a little bit more, as it seems like he's not going to the LIV Tour. Granted, who knows? Next, I'm going to go with Keith Mitchell over Jason Kokrak at plus 100. He's an underdog here. Jason Kokrak's in bad form, missed a cut again last week. Keith Mitchell, like I mentioned, that guy can birdie and spurt, score really well. I think that's going to do him justice this week. I cannot do the S's this week. What the fuck is going on with me? I don't know what the hell. I can't get anything going with me right now. So either way, Keith Mitchell over Kokrak plus 100. At least I've got self. Oh my God.
You should just put yourself a timeout and wrap it up.
Self humility. There's something wrong with me right now. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I don't know if my head's not there. I have all my numbers in front of me. Maybe it's a little bit disorienting, but I can't
get the word. All right, move on. Let's go.
All right, we'll finish it up with our first round leaders.
Does that mean you have some, or you're just
pandering? I do. Well, yeah, you told me to shut up, so.
Well, yeah, you may as well just get it all out now. Let's go. I mean, you couldn't have less confidence, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
I have confidence in my plays. I don't have confidence speaking right now, so whatever. First round leader, I'm going to ride. I've actually got a five-pack here. And I did some digging this week. I haven't done it in the past, but that's because I looked at the forecast, and finally, it looks like there is not going to be any AM, PM wave discrepancies. So don't care where they are playing, whether it's AM or PM, but first round leader, give me Joaquin Niemann at 45-1. He ranks number 2 in round 1 scoring average on the season. Keith Mitchell, 70-1, ranks 14th in round 1 scoring average. KH Lee, 90-1. He ranks 27th in round 1 scoring average on the season. Sahith Theegala, 100-1, ranks 46th in round 1 scoring average. And my field play, not necessarily one of the best in round 1 scoring average, but Garrick Higo, field play, gained 6.7 strokes on approach last week, had a top 20 finish at the U.S. Open. Hopefully he carries that momentum over. Maybe he can have a big round on Thursday.
All right, you wrapped it up properly. I'm proud of you. Attaboy. Yeah, I like a few. I mean, what's new? They're all going to be from the morning wave for me. So you say Theegala? Yeah, I kind of like that. Why not? Like Cam Davis, like Jason Day, 60-1. Webb Simpson for sure at 60-1 will be on my card. And then Cam Tringali again. I think he could if there was ever a week where I would kind of want to bet on him because the guy has never won in 13 years on tour, it would be this week. I kind of like him a lot this week. But, yeah, Webb Simpson and Jason Day, a few of my favorites at 60-1 this week. And just a long shot. I don't know, whatever number you can kind of get him at. But let's go with John. He's played short courses really well, and he's actually been in form recently. So I like John Hunt for one round. Maybe if you're even feeling frisky, you can get a little allocation to him in DraftKings. But John Hunt, the guy that's made the cut every year at the Honda Classic that I've gone because I've seen there all the time, coming off 25th and 12th place finishes in his last two starts. Kind of like John Ha is a sleeper for a first round leader at probably 150-ish to 1.
There we go. We finally gave some statistics to go with our first round leaders. I'll wrap it up with two props. I gave two props last week. They went 1-1, which is profitable because they were both plus money. I'm going to take Davis Riley. I didn't want to take him as an outright, but I will take him as a top 20 play at plus 220. I think that's a nice number there for him. So plus 220 on Davis Riley to finish top 20. And also give me Webb Simpson, top 20 plus 280. I think that's a phenomenal number. Have him outright. Give me the each way at plus or as a top 20. It's not really an each way. I'm just joking. It's kind of a joke. But Webb Simpson, top 20, plus 280. I think it's a phenomenal bet. Can get almost 3-1 of your money back on him just to finish in the top 20. Obviously, 156 and ties may, or 156 players, T65 and ties make the cut. But I think Webb Simpson has dominated this track in the past. no reason he will not this week. So sounds like that's going to wrap it up for Golf Picks with the Plotniks. Any parting words?
Yeah. Good luck to all.
All right. That's going to do it for Golf Picks with the Plotniks. The Travelers Championship 2022. Good luck, everybody.